this for anything. I don't want to be anywhere else. I want to be in his house with his people and his presence. There's a lot of church buildings, but where can you go to feel the presence of God? He is right here. He is alive and well and living right here. He's living in you and me, and he's right here tonight in Jesus' name. We're going to take some knees before the Lord tonight. Brother Wells is out of town. He told me a few days ago that his flight was too late to get back in time to teach, so he asked me a few days to go to teach tonight. So just pray for safe travels for him to come back. Sister Wells is in a parent-teacher conference, I think, as we speak. She may be in here a little bit later. I'm not sure. But at the end of service, we're going to stop a little early, and we're going to have prayer for the students. Some started school today, and some are going, I think, as soon as tomorrow. IVIC starts tomorrow in town, and then first day of school in Sandwich starts Friday. So we're gonna pray. We're going to have all the children, all ages, high school, college, all of them up here at the end of the service tonight. We're going to pray for all of them. And if anybody has any prayer requests that they'd like to share with the church tonight, by uplifted hand, Brother Mike. Okay. Remember that. Need anybody else? Sister Kellen. Okay. Good deal. Awesome. Okay. I believe it's very important to pray for our coworkers because that affects us and how things go in our workplace. Okay. Kalen School District's router, right? No? Batavia School District's router needs prayer because Sister D works with her. Okay. All right. This is very important. She needs prayer. Okay. Awesome. Remember that need tonight. Anybody else? Sister Christy. Need to pray for protection. Okay, definitely remember that need. Anybody else tonight? Sister Kellen. Okay. That's a real need right there. Okay. Let's take these knees before the Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we could come together, gather together corporately, Lord, here in the middle of the week, Lord, to be in your house tonight, Lord, to feel your presence, Lord, as we begin to lift up your name, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're the God that isn't only just here and at home, but you're the God in the workplace, Lord. I pray for Sister Deanna, Lord, her in her workplace, for the router lady that needs, she needs prayer, Lord, and everybody in her office needs prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. We want to lift everybody and those coworkers up in prayer tonight, Lord. Brother Mike, Lord, is dealing with a situation, Lord, where he just needs your help tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we need to pray for a hedge of protection around this young girl, Lord, who is being pulled in different directions, Lord, as Sister Christy was mentioning here tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, you know every need before we speak it, Lord. You're an all-knowing God in Jesus' name, Lord. You know our situation, Lord. You go before us and you are behind us, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. You are ever-present help in time of need. You know what we're going to say before we even say it, Lord. You have formed us, Lord, and you've created us. In Jesus' name, and you are God, and you are here. Can we give God a hand clap of praise? I don't think I'll be too long. Either way, it's 7:45. Those kids are going to be coming up here. They're going to make some noise. But I had... Before I even knew about we were going to have prayer for the children, that I needed to end this night with prayer, and you'll understand why towards the end of. I believe that I did hear a word from the Lord, and that it is timely, and it is for somebody here tonight in Jesus' name. I'm going to read in John. I'm going to share a text with you. In John 4, verses 6 through 15, it says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." You can be seated at this time. There's a reason why I have to come here to this well. And there's also a reason why I don't want to come here to this well. And that was going through her mind. I have to be here. I have to go here. I have to get water. This is a place to water. This is a place to draw water. This is where I get my drinking water. This is where I get my clean water. I got to have a place. Everybody comes here, but I got a situation. There's a reason why I don't want to come here. Jacob's well is located in the West Bank. They actually built a building around the well. It's located inside an Eastern Orthodox monastery today. There's still water in Jacob's well. I just saw a video on it not too long ago, and somebody poured water into the well, and you can hear it splashing. So all these thousands of years, there's still water in Jacob's well. Being in the building trades, I've seen wells being dug, and I've been in job sites, houses that are out in the country where they don't have access to city water, and I've seen them work on buildings. And I've seen them, I've actually recently worked for a local drill welding company. I worked on their offices on a build-out out by Morris. These trucks and equipment, they're able to dig hundreds of feet down in the ground. These are very expensive pieces of machinery, and to have a well to be dug, if you need a well dug, it can be very expensive. It depends on the depth and the location to where the well is being dug. I know that in Kendall County, there's different layers where people have to drill. You could be on one piece of property, and you may only have to drill a few hundred feet, but you may have to go hundreds of feet deeper on the neighbor's property. It all depends. There's all these different layers of stone that a well driller has to drill to go to access that water. I know someone who built a house in Sheridan not too many years ago. They didn't pay very much for the well. But I also knew somebody that built a house in Lily Lake just north of Elburn. They paid, I want to say, six times more than what a person paid for a well to be dug in Sheridan. How do you figure in those kind of costs? When you build a house, it's kind of like a gamble. You don't know. It all depends on location. You have to have water. You have to have a well. There's no city hookup. And the only other option is to grab a barrel and go into Walmart, stand in line, and get water filled up and come back home. I mean, if that's an option for you, go for it. But not too many people are going to go for that. And it's not a good selling point in your house either. It's hard to say how long well drinking water can actually last. I rarely hear of anybody, and I don't know if you've ever heard of anybody, I'm sure it's happened where a well would actually dry up. In Mexico's San Miguel, a village that's been there for since the 1500s, has a mountain spring that still produces water in the town today. Many generations have benefited from this water. It's become a stable environment for everybody that's come from generations to live around that area in San Miguel. That water comes from a spring. Well water comes from aquifers that are beneath the earth's surface. You have the earth's surface, and you have these areas of bedrock, and they have to drill through the bedrock. Underneath that are water beds called aquifers. And there's that stone, and that can be very hard to break through to get to the water at times. If a good source of water isn't located immediately by the one drilling, the well driller will use a process called hydrofracking. It's a high-pressure water used to open access to cracks in a rock that holds water. There's a crack in water. They're going to use high-pressure water to open up the cracks in the rock. Sometimes there's notable progress when a well digger can see. Sometimes he's able to lay in pipe one after another in a day. And other days, he's able to only get maybe an inch an hour. It all depends. But the well still has to be dug because the parcel of land is there and bought and paid for. It's necessary to have the well, and it's a muddy, murky mess. Before you have that good drinking water, you have to tap into the earth, and that is a mess. When enough pressure is applied to an olive, oil is produced. When there's enough pressure to apply to our life, anointing is produced. It's applied to my worship. It's applied to my prayer life. When enough pressure is applied, something is going to break. We have to know that. When you feel enough pressure, if there's enough pressure against that window, and if you lean enough pressure against it, you stick a 2x4 against it, if you stick a hammer against it, it's going to break eventually. Enough pressure will do that. You may be facing pressure on your job or at home, pressure in a marriage, pressure in a relationship, that pressure that has caused brokenness, that has caused tears, that has produced tears. And those tears have also produced anointed worship when you come in here. You don't have to come in here to have anointed worship. You can have anointed worship in your own house. You can have anointed worship in your bedroom. You can have anointed worship by your bedside. You can have anointed worship when everybody else is asleep in your house and you go in your living room. The presence of God, I felt it as strong as I've ever felt it in my life in my own living room as I have here at an altar or in an evangelistic service. When we have that pressing, it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. In Jeremiah 5:16, in the second half of the verse, it says, "The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much." The pressure is producing a desired effect. That pressure that is being produced is for an actual purpose. It's intentional. To avail, by definition, is to be of use for advantage. It's going to benefit something or somebody. It's for a purpose. It's for gain. That pressure that we've been feeling is not accidental. The pressure you may be feeling at times may seem unbearable. It is at times unbearable. Those sleepless nights, those 3 a.m. prayer meetings. Every time I read a book and every time I hear somebody that gets up in the middle of the night, it's usually about 3 a.m. Somewhere around there. I don't know what it is about a 3 a.m. wake-up call by God, but we get up at 3 a.m. in the morning. I don't know. He's got an alarm clock. He knows everybody's time zone. If you're on the East Coast, you're going to get up at 3 a.m. if he wakes you up. If you're on the Pacific Coast, he's going to wake you up at 3 a.m. He just knows when to wake us up. He says, we need to have some alone time. Maybe it's a situation that's causing me to where I need to get it just alone with God. Maybe it's that pressure that may just seem unnecessary. It may not make any sense in your life, this pressure that you may be feeling. But it's not accidental. It's for a purpose. There is no mistakes in God's plan. God ordered every step in Israel, and they walked through the wilderness. It was all intentional, even when they had a back against the wall, against the sea. I put you there for a reason, to show my glory, to destroy the enemy, but to give you a way out. Those persistent prayers are being applied to break a wall, to go through, to reach that aquifer, to get to that through that layer of stone underneath the surface, to break through maybe a specific stronghold. Jesus also felt pressure in being applied to him, and he also showed us an example of how to be obedient when pressure is applied to our lives. And in Luke, it says, "Then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went, as usual, to the Mount of Olives. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like drops of blood." The pressure that was applied that he felt that caused him to sweat drops of blood was for a purpose. Your purpose and your pain has a purpose as well. It's not for anything. A lot of times we come in here with hurt and pain and we try to mask it, we try to cover it up. This is not the place to do it. A well is a place that has provided opportunity for Jesus to offer living water for something eternal and not temporal. This is on a side note, and on James 5:16 is a key verse for tonight. We've been talking about on Sunday nights with the men, and it's about restoring somebody that's been broken, about restoring somebody that has fallen, that has faults, and that somebody that may have some cobwebs in their life, somebody that may be dealing with some demons, and to get them on the right path, not to condemn them, not to judge them, not for them to be in any more hurt or any more pain, but to restore them. God wants to restore people. He's in the restoring business. He's not in the business to put any shame on us, but he's in the business to restore us. He's in the business to make us whole, to make us new. He's going to do a new work in us. And no matter how bad we may have screwed up, God is still able to fix and make things new in our life. I came here a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and I shared this with a few people, with anxiety, and I walked in here and I put my iPad down about where Brother Gary's sitting here tonight. And I put my iPad down, and I could not sit. I could not stand still for anything. I was dealing with some anxiety. And I'm like, I've never dealt with anxiety in my life. My brother and my sister had anxiety, and I thought, you know what? Maybe you need the Lord. And you know what? I have the Lord, and I've had to deal with anxiety. I know people that have the Holy Ghost and have the Lord, and they deal with anxiety, and we don't know where it comes from. But you know what? It's probably from some kind of a spiritual attack that we may be dealing with. We're not aware of. There's things in the unseen world that we can't see with our eyes that we're dealing with. And it's for a reason. If pressures are being applied to us about something, something's about to break. Something's about to break through. And that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes the breaking in us feels painful. It feels like this is it. But it's just the beginning of something else. That breaking on that wall, on that barrier, on that stone, it may seem unbearable at times. You may only see cracks at times. You may seem like you're only getting inches an hour at a time. But it's for a purpose. It's for a reason, because something is going to spring forward. Something is going to break through. And something is going to benefit many of us for many generations to come. This is not an accident. Why is pressure being applied to my life? It's for a reason, because there's a breakthrough coming. There's a breakthrough coming. I got this picture up here of three men in a well, and this is a collective thing. This is the church. This is the church body being together and digging a well. We are not in this alone, but we are up to our knees in the mud. We are up to our knees in this murky stuff. We can't see exactly everything that's underneath us. We may have encountered some things that we have hit is hard, and it's unpenetratable, but it is penetratable. It is. There's cracks underneath the surface that we're not even aware of. There are prayers that have been prayed, and there's pressures that have been applied to us for a reason that have never been unintentional. It was not a coincidence that you got up at 3 a.m. in the morning and started praying. It's not an accident that you went in your room and you put your face in your pillow and you started weeping and you didn't know why, because God put you and calls you into intercessory prayer to pray for a situation you're not even aware of. The Spirit made intercession for something that you have no idea what it was. I'm going to confess something, because it says to confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. One of my personal confessions is I think God is in control and aware, because I'm not in control. I don't think he's in control because I'm not in control. You know what? I'm not supposed to be in control. But I need to confess that. I need to get that. Because you know what? That is something the enemy will try to creep in, and a lie that he'll try to produce in my mind. And as soon as I make an agreement with the enemy, that means there's something that sprung up that wasn't there before, that now I have to deal with it. Now I have to cope with the situation that I agreed with the enemy with. That is a total and blatant lie. In Psalm 139, 1 through 5 says, and I got this in a New Living Translation version. I want to read this. O Lord, you've examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand, a blessing on my head. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Psalms 139, 1 through 5 and verse 7. I thank God for his word, and I thank God for the church, and I thank God for prayer, and I thank God for an opportunity to be able to repent and say, you know what? I got caught up in believing a lie that you're not in control, because the word of God says you are in control, and you are in control. His word null and voids any agreement that enemy tried to make with us in believing that lie that God is not in control. It is written, he knows everything about our lives. He knows our goings and our comings. In Jesus' name, can we give him a hand clap of praise? He knows when I lay down and when it's more than a nap, when it's more like depression. And Psalms 139, 17 and 18 says, how precious are they thoughts unto me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more than the number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with me. He is still with me when I wake up, when I don't know what to do. When I wake up in the morning and I don't know my next move, he is still with me. When I lay my head down at night, or I lay my head down in the afternoon because I'm dealing with depression, he is still with me. He knows it. He sees it. He's aware of it. He is an all-knowing God, and he's an all-powerful God. But I need to kill some things in my life. I need to kill the thought that he doesn't know and that he doesn't have control, because he does have control. I don't have to be in control, and I shouldn't be in control. I need to relinquish control so he can have control. When he has control, he could do things that none of us can. Nobody can. Sometimes we're going to come in here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, and we can't fake that everything's okay. It's okay. It's a church/hospital. It's not a church/country club. It never was intended to be that way. We are supposed to walk out of here differently than the way we came in, whether it's on a Wednesday night, whether it's on a Sunday morning, whether you come in here for a pit stop during the week and you got the keys of the church and you come in here, you just need to pray. Whether it's for 10 minutes or for an hour, I just need to pray, because I need something different. I need something to change in me. I am being pressed about something that I don't understand, and I need something to change in my life. So I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to walk out of here differently in Jesus' name. In the Old Testament, they said, when you go into the temple, if you come into the west gate, don't you leave the west gate. You go out and leave on the east gate. And if you come in the north gate, you go and you leave out in the south gate. You don't ever leave the same way that you came in. Whether no matter what day of the week it is that you walk into the house, you want to practice this tonight. I don't know what door you came in tonight, but try going out a different door. Just why not? We're creatures of habit. You know why we're creatures of habit? I see it every Sunday, because we sit in the same spot every Sunday. We are all creatures of habit. If there's something we need to get off our chest, this is a place to do it. Maybe you're dealing with an addiction or an addictive relationship, and you need to talk to someone to confess it and get it off your chest. There's healing in that. Confess your faults one to another. We don't have it all together. There's none of us here that has it all together. We're not perfect. We all have faults. We all have mistakes. Revelation 12, 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. They got tired of maintaining a false image of themselves to everyone else. They got tired of their pride. They're like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of it. I'm tired of being a phony to everybody else. I'm tired of being a phony when I walk into church. I couldn't do it for 2 minutes, Brother Al, a few weeks ago. It was a month ago. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm dealing with some things, and I'm dealing with anxiety. I need to go. I went to a brother. I'm not going to mention the person's name, but I told him I was dealing with anxiety. He stopped what he was doing. He prayed with me right there. That's the church. That's what we need. That's Scripture. That's James 5:16 in action right there. They were tired of their pride. I have to verbalize what the blood covers in my life. If it's an addiction, I need to verbalize that addiction. What does the blood cover in my life? Whatever it may be, Lord, your blood covers this in my life. I need my ears to hear it. It needs to be spoken out in the open. It doesn't need to be spoken to everybody in the church. God did not intend for us to put shame upon ourselves. But he did give us brothers and sisters in the church that we can go to one-on-one. And we could go confess our faults one to another. And we can, I'm going to make a confession to a brother. And that brother, in return, is going to pray with me. And in return, healing is going to take place right there. You want healing. A lot of times we walk around with wounds and we think we just manage them. God doesn't want us to manage our wounds. He wants to heal us of our wounds. I wanted to look this up myself. In Thomasville, Georgia, is a rattlesnake capital of America. From homeowners' garages to sugarcane fields, they're everywhere. The local hospitals treat snake bite victims with lamb's blood. There are sheep on a 250-acre farm where they graze in preparation every month for the donation of blood. Their blood bears what it is claimed to be the purest antidote for the world's deadliest snakes. His blood is the antidote for our worst mistakes. I believe there's healing here tonight. Sister Davis said something when she was up there. We need healing tonight. Somebody needs healing tonight. It's powerful when we apply it to our lives. We feel like we tap into something spiritual at times, and we think that it's for nothing, that you feel like you're going nowhere. And this is as far as I'm going. I hit a rock. This is it. I maxed out. Those aren't just prayer-pressed tears. You're hydrofracking. You're applying pressure to cracks, but you can't see it because it's a muddy mess around the bottom of that well. That hurt that seems unbearable, it is. It's breaking through. You can't see it at the time because you're knee-deep in the mud. And you're still standing in the same place. And there's a pressing in your prayer life that's breaking through something. And there's cracks that you can't see. There's fractures just underneath. Something's about to break forth. Collectively, we've been here. We've been pressing. You've been pressed individually at home, and you ain't told nobody about it. We've been pressed here as a church. And a few years ago, we felt like, I remember Sister Day saying, I felt like somebody's trying to rip this church apart. But we're still here. There's a pressing. We're here for a reason. God has transplanted, put people back in place for a reason. And that pressing can only mean one thing. The enemy is scared that he's going to lose something or somebody. I remember Grandma Harmon. She had a lot to do with the starting of this church. She would even have church in her own home. I remember she would have a list of names of people she would pray for daily. I heard stories of grandchildren that would be at Mama Harmon's house playing. They would know when Mama Harmon would get her Bible out. That's where she kept a list of names of everybody that she would pray for every day. All her family was on that list, and if you went to this church, you were on that list too. As she was going down her list of names, the children would play a little bit quieter to hear their name being prayed for. Sister Pat told me tonight before service, she would go to sleep at night hearing her mom pray. She'd pray during the daytime around her grandchildren by her feet, and she'd pray at night as her children were going to sleep. If you're on that list and you didn't receive the Holy Ghost, and you didn't have the Holy Ghost, she was praying every day that you would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In 2004, when she was in the nursing home just down the street here, she had Alzheimer's. Sometimes when you would visit her, she would know you, and other times you would visit her and she wouldn't know you. I remember walking in there with Helen Kittner one night. She asked her, Do you remember him? She said yes. Helen said he received the Holy Ghost. Sister Harmon said, I knew he would. My name was on that list. Well diggers. persistent prayers, prayer warriors. Praying when they didn't feel like praying. Praying when they lost sleep praying. Praying because it's cost them something. It cost them their time. It cost them energy. Plenty of other things they could be doing. But they were digging wells. I remember Sister Sue Darby. Sister Sue Darby is Spencer's grandmother. And he just told me recently that she had a list in her Bible as well before she passed away. She would do the same thing. She would pray. Sister Harmon, Sister Darby, they're well diggers. Many people in many generations have benefited from a well being dug. Hundreds of years in San Miguel, Mexico. How many generations have benefited since Sandwich has been here? I believe many generations have benefited. I've benefited, my children have benefited. It's about right there at 7:45. I want to stand. I want to do two things tonight. And I intended to do this. I didn't know we were going to close. We're going to pray with some children. They're going to come up here in a minute. But the first part of James 5:16 says, to confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. One person goes to another person and gets what his or her has off their chest. It's not intended to bring shame onto that person or individual. It's intended for healing. It's intended for restoration. Maybe you've come in here tonight and you're dealing with something and you have fault with something. You just need to go to brother or sister. I'm like, I got to get this off my chest. I don't want to go to bed tonight. I don't want to deal with this anymore. This is a place to do it. This is where we can be real with God. Brother Wallace, if you have some music, if you wanted to play. The other part I want to do, is with everybody else. If you feel like you need to pray with somebody, go to somebody and talk to somebody. Please do it tonight before you leave. But everybody else, we're going to do some well digging. We're going to do some well tapping. We've all been through something recently, whether directly or indirectly. We've been affected by something. We've been pressed by something, a situation, a family member, something that has caused us some pressure in our life to cause us to get up out of bed, to cause us to pray at night, to lose sleep. It's not accidental. It was intentional. A veil. Fervent, effectual prayer availeth much. It's for a purpose. It's for a reason. It's going to accomplish something. The enemy wouldn't be in our business if he didn't feel like he was going to lose someone or somebody. It's a dirty and it's muddy around the well. You've invested too much to give up on your breakthrough. It's right there. We need some well diggers tonight. Taking it to the streets is just a few weeks away. We don't need to pray and have a two-minute prayer per city council member that night off. We need to be praying, prayed up, prayed for. They need to encounter the presence of God beyond these four walls. We enjoy the presence of God every time we walk in here, but taking it to the streets is just for that reason, for the presence of God to reach beyond these four walls, to take it out in the street. For the ones that have been here, we've benefited generation after generation for being in here. We want to see other people benefit from the well diggers, from the prayer warriors. If we could just gather around. We're going to ask the young ones to come up right now at this time. Everybody from college age, if you're in school, and we're going to have the church come up behind you. And we're going to have a time of prayer for everyone here, but I don't want us to be in a hurry tonight. I don't want us to be quick to forget what we just talked about. We need to tap into some things tonight. We need to keep pressing on those cracks. That aquifer is, it's right there. Something's going to spring forth. It's just a matter of time.
We are closer than we ever thought we would be. We're right there.
If there's cracks all around us and the pressure keeps being applied,
something's going to spring forth.
Revival, restoration for family members, prodigals, prayers that those prayer warriors, those well diggers prayed, are still being honored, are still being brought before the Lord long after they've passed. Does anybody want to stand and get up and be a well digger tonight? We need, come in, let's take a moment and just pray for these. before we dismiss, if we could just do one thing. We got about 5 minutes left. Can we just pray pressing? Things aren't broken without pressing. Things aren't produced. That oil wasn't produced without pressing. Can we just take the next 5 minutes and just press? Press into God. Pray for Sister Day. She's having sciatic nerve problems. And she needs to be lifted up tonight. If we could just take the next 5 minutes and just press into Him. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. If we could praise Him for the breakthrough. Thank you, God, for the breakthrough. In Jesus' name, Lord. You're the God of the breakthrough. We thank you and we praise you, God. By faith, Lord, we are praising you for the breakthrough. Lord, if we can't see it, Lord, it doesn't look like it's there. Lord, it's there. Lord, you've already given us a victory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Don't ever feel like you have to stop praying at 8 o'clock. We don't ever have to put God in a box. If you ever feel like you just need to come to the church and pray and you don't have a key to the church and you want to pray with somebody, we need some prayer partners. We need some ones that we can hold each other accountable to in the next few weeks. We need to be in this house more than ever because I believe God's going to do something that we've never seen done before. So we need to pray in the house of God more than ever. We need to pray, even if it's not on the schedule. We need to make a schedule and say, Lord, I'm going to clear my schedule and I'm going to pray. I'm going to get in the house of God and pray. Maybe it's going to be at 9 o'clock at night when nobody is there. Maybe it's going to be at 8 o'clock in the morning after everybody went to work. No matter what it is, it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Sister Davis needs volunteers for visitation this Saturday at 10 o'clock.